What happens when a popular rock radio DJ retires, sells everything, and with his wife, takes off in an RV to see America? Ho, ho, ho! It's the Rockin' the RV Life podcast with Jeff and Patty. Join them each week as they share their experiences while giving you advice and tips along the way.
I'm Jeff Kinsbach.
And I'm Patty. And in case you just found us, we live and travel full-time in our 38-foot motorhome pulling a Jeep Wrangler. Now, it's coming up on 2 years we've been doing this.
Wow.
A little celebration is in store pretty soon, Jeff.
I would imagine.
We've been married for 33 years.
Might start tonight.
And Jeff is a former radio personality from Cleveland, Ohio. It just so happens that now we travel and do a weekly podcast of our experiences. We also have a monthly column in the Cleveland Plain Dealer newspaper. We like staying active, and we like having you along for the ride.
Absolutely. And speaking of being along for the ride, earlier this year, we planned a trip to New England.
Mm-hmm.
Why New England? Well, the temperatures are a little bit cooler, and it's absolutely spectacular. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. It really is. I've had a lot of friends who are RVing this summer saying, oh my gosh, where I've been, it's been so hot, and yeah, I have to run the air conditioner 24 hours a day. Not us, because we decided to go to New England. Now, the whole idea was to drive through New York on the Thruway to Plymouth, Massachusetts. Now, the Thruway, I will tell you, is okay. It's a toll road, but once you leave Buffalo and you're heading east, it's really bumpy. I mean, it's one of those ka-thump, 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 you know, and stuff rattles. And sometimes it drives me nuts.
Oh, it does. You hear every little noise.
Yeah.
It just drives you crazy. And it's like, oh my gosh, just, you know, it's okay. Let it go.
Yeah. So anyway, the best thing they can do is take some of the funds from those tolls and fix the road.
Uh-huh.
So that would be nice. But Plymouth, Massachusetts was a really cool place.
Oh, we had a reason to stop there, too.
Yes.
A couple of reasons.
And that was one of your brilliant ideas.
Well, first of all, we've never been there, so it was pretty cool to see Plymouth Rock, I guess.
Right,
I mean,
where the pilgrims landed
in
1620. I
mean, yeah.
And it is. It's a cute little town.
It is. But also, our daughter Mackenzie's boyfriend's parents live there.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought, you know what? Let's meet the parents.
Yeah, they've been going together for a couple of years, and we thought, okay, let's meet the parents. Love and Bruce.
Yes.
Nice, nice people.
Oh, yeah. They were so nice.
Yeah, and they invited us over, and we had just a wonderful time. They live on a lake. We call it a lake.
Yeah.
They call it a pond.
Yeah.
Well, it's a big pond.
Yeah.
But in New England, they're ponds.
They are. They're ponds in New England. It's kind of funny. Mm-hmm.
Then we went up to Gloucester and Rockport, Maine, which is a really cool place.
Oh, those are both cute towns.
Yeah, they're old fishing villages.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, the history is just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
What is it? The East Point Lighthouse? You've got to find that and walk all the way out on the rocks that they put out there in the harbor.
Yeah.
It's about 2,400 feet out. And you get great sights of the harbor, as well as you can see the skyline of Boston nearly 30 miles away.
Yeah.
So then we continued up the coast to Kennebunk, Maine. But before we got to Kennebunk, we had to go through New Hampshire. You leave Massachusetts and you go through New Hampshire, and it's maybe a 10-minute drive on 95 that you're in New Hampshire. It's just a small little area of land that goes out to the ocean. But what amazed us were the signs for the New Hampshire liquor stores.
Yeah.
I mean, we're on 95 driving, and here's a sign, you know, stop at the next exit, the New Hampshire liquor store.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking,
and it was just an exit just for the liquor store.
Just for the liquor store.
You didn't get off the exit and have a road there. It was just an exit for
the
liquor store on both sides of the road.
Yeah. So evidently, people from Maine and people from Massachusetts go there all the time because they don't have to pay tax on the liquor, and it's supposedly a lot less expensive. We didn't stop, so I didn't see the prices or anything.
No, but we're going to stop on the way back.
I guess
because I need to check it out and see what this is all about.
Uh-huh.
We weren't expecting it,
no.
So we're passing it, and it's like, oh, well, maybe we should have stopped, but then it was too late.
Absolutely hilarious.
Yeah.
You know, you don't really see on a freeway signs for a liquor store.
I know. We were just amazed.
Yeah, it was funny stuff. Then we went to Boothbay Harbor, Maine.
Yeah,
which
town.
Is awesome.
Yeah.
Then our favorite, Bar Harbor, Maine.
Oh, I love Bar Harbor.
It is a great town. Oh. Now, it gets a little bit crowded, and what I suggest is kind of check to see when the cruise ships are going to be in port. This year, they're going to be in port on Mondays and Fridays, so that's when the town gets really crowded. But yeah, people go there because it's really popular. Acadia National Park is there, and that's fantastic. We've done two hikes there.
We have.
And we've absolutely loved them.
Oh, the Beehive Hike?
Oh.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
You're walking or you're hiking straight up a mountain up these rocks.
Yeah, granite rock.
And there's iron bars that they have into the rock that you can hold on to pull you up and step on.
Yep, they have handles.
Yeah.
And
thank goodness for those because...
It is a very... And they'll tell you on signs... It's a tough hike.
Yeah.
And don't do it with little kids.
Yeah.
And
although there were kids there.
Yeah, there were.
It's like, I don't know. I'd be scared to death if I had my kids.
Well, they even say on the signs that people have died doing that.
Yeah.
You know, people get crazy. They go to the edge or, you know, they don't pay attention. And
yeah, but still, just that one area where you're walking like straight up this. You don't have much. If you're afraid of heights, I don't think you can do it.
No, it's not a good thing.
No.
But when you get to the top.
Oh, it's beautiful. What a view.
Phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal.
That would be perfect to go there and see a sunset or a sunrise.
No doubt.
You're so high up, you can catch either one, I'm sure.
There's another great hike, too. It's called the Ocean Path Trail, and it goes all along the ocean, and the tremendous rock formations are just breathtaking.
And those are just two of them. I mean, there's plenty more. There's Cadillac Mountain.
Yeah, Cadillac Mountain.
That's beautiful.
Sometimes you need a reservation, so check with the park. They're really accessible, really nice people.
Yes.
Now, we debated taking a ferry from Bar Harbor to Nova Scotia.
Right. Should we do the ferry or should we drive around through New Brunswick?
And we debated that because there is a ferry. It only takes 3.5 hours. It's a high-speed ferry.
It takes you from Bar Harbor to Yarmouth, Nova Scotia.
Right. And you're in Canada then.
Right.
3.5 hours. It's a bit pricey.
Right.
Yeah. And
it was just over $800.
It was $800.
For one way.
Let's break down that cost.
Okay.
First of all, we're seniors, so it was $110 a piece for us.
Yeah.
So there's $220 right there.
That was the senior rate.
Now, to put the 35,000-pound, 38-foot RV on board, which I still can't believe they can do that, that was $398. But they had a sale going. I think we got $75 off.
Right. And then the car.
$199?
Yes, $199. So then with the $199 for the car and all the other costs, plus there's an extra $10 in port fees per person.
Of course.
It was $837.
$837.
Yep.
But we did get a free gas card worth $50.
$50.
Which we used very quickly.
Yeah. And that price was actually $75 off. Now, if we would have gone round trip, we would have got $150 off.
Oh, okay.
So that helped a little bit, you know?
We decided to drive out of Nova Scotia through St. Andrews.
Yeah, instead of...
Save a little bit of money.
Yeah.
So we get to the Cat Ferry. And this is a pretty big production.
Oh, yeah.
Because we can't put the RV and the car on together because you have to back the RV onto the Cat Ferry and then you have to put the car on. The RV has to come out forward. You can't back it out of the ferry because there's a real sharp turn in Yarmouth.
Yeah, when you get off on Yarmouth, that ramp coming off, it curves to the left.
So I had to back it on. And they ask you, are you comfortable backing your RV onto the ferry? Oh, yeah, just give me some directions. And oh, yeah, we'll show you how to do it and everything. Or they would do it. You know, they've got drivers that'll do it.
Now, when we were waiting for the ferry to get on the ferry, it had come in from Yarmouth and a big motorhome came off. And of course, that came off. It backed off.
Right.
Because it went on forward in Yarmouth around the curve. But it backed off, and then it came far enough where it turned around.
Right, they had to turn it around.
Yeah.
And then you go through customs.
Right. So when we got on, we were the only big motorhome. It was really cool. So I had to drive separately. I kind of got in the middle of all the cars.
Right. And I backed the RV on, and we got situated. You get out. They actually tie the RV down by the axle.
Yeah.
So it doesn't move or anything.
Yeah.
And then we went up into the cabin of the Cat Ferry and the passenger deck. It's awesome. Yeah. It's like being on a first class airplane.
Yeah.
It's very luxurious.
Right. So you've got rows of two seats along the sides where the windows are, along both sides. Mm-hmm. And you've got some couches in there. In the middle, there's an office, there's a gift shop, there's a cafe. Mm-hmm. And then in the front, you go through another door, and there's a lounge over there in the front, mm-hmm. and there's a bar there.
Right.
So you can get drinks. And
there's usually somebody performing,
mm-hmm.
and you can see right out the front of the ship.
Yeah, the front window is beautiful.
And there's also three areas that you can go outside mm-hmm. and just be outside the Cat Ferry if you mm-hmm. want while it's going along.
Right, and it was a 3.5-hour ride. Now, it was a sunny day, but once we started getting into the water and getting out there, it turned foggy.
Yeah, it did.
We couldn't see anything.
Mm-mm.
Until we got to Yarmouth.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And they're blowing the foghorn
yeah.
and everything. It was really a cool experience.
Yeah, every 5 minutes or so, they're blowing the foghorn.
So what happens when you get to Yarmouth, when you're in Canada then? Well, I was one of the first off the Cat Ferry.
Yep, they put you off first.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to go through customs. So mm-hmm. they direct you around the curve and into this area where you drive through customs.
Mm-hmm.
And
there was a row of them all set up. There was,
yeah,
what, about five of them?
There were five of them.
They put you at number two.
They put me at number two mm-hmm. and came up and immediately asked me, are you towing a car? I see you have a tow bracket on the back. And mm-hmm. I said, yes, my wife is stuck in the ferry somewhere. Well, what kind of car is it? We'll get her.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they were great. They were really efficient.
All these guys working there had walkie-talkies, so
yeah.
they were all talking to each other.
So I told them it's a white Jeep, black top, two doors, and blonde Patty's driving it. Oh, we'll find her, you know, and off they went, you
mm-hmm.
know. And they said, just wait here, you know, we'll just use this line for you guys.
As I was getting prepared to get off the boat, the first guy that was on the boat said, they're waiting for you out there. And then as I got off the boat, there was another guy standing there. My window was down, and I heard him say on the walkie-talkie, she's out.
Yeah.
And here they had left lane two totally open,
mm-hmm.
and they said, take that one. And I got right up behind you.
I had a customs official who had come on board, and he was really great. He says, yep, they found your wife and the car, and she should be driving up in a few seconds, and we'll have you out of here in no time. And they did.
They did.
They were really efficient. They looked at our passports, asked us what we were doing, how long we were going to stay, maybe where we were going. And off we went.
Mm-hmm.
And they were real helpful. They said, you know, just pull the RV over there and you can hook up the car to it. And if
yeah.
you need some help, we got people who'll help you. And if you need some directions where you're going, you know, just let us know. And I said, no, we're good.
Yeah, we're good.
Mm-hmm. Then we got out of customs
yeah.
and got on Highway 101
mm-hmm.
to head to Church Point.
Yeah.
And that was really interesting heading up there because it was like a two-lane highway, but it was a big two-lane highway
mm-hmm.
between pine trees.
Right. It was beautiful.
It was gorgeous.
It was just beautiful. But now it was also dusk, so it was the sun was going to be getting ready to set.
Mm-hmm.
We were hoping to get to the campground by then, but we had about a half hour, 45-minute drive. So,
yeah.
you know, we didn't quite make it before sunset. By the time we got there, we were able to just use the lights from the car.
And there was a guy two sites down from us who was English.
Mm-hmm.
And he came running out and he goes, hey, mates, you need some help? I'll help you. You know, he was just really a great guy.
Oh, he was so sweet.
Yeah, everybody's really nice.
Yeah, we didn't really need any help. But, you know, it was kind of dark. But here we were right on the water.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. When the sun came up, it was so pretty there.
I know. So from Church Point, then, we continued up the west coast of Nova Scotia, Canada, to a town called Wolfville.
Wolfville. Now, what I loved about Wolfville, they had a brewery there. This brewery was in an old stone church, and it was called the Church Brewery.
The Church Brewery.
It was amazing.
I'm thinking we're going to get struck by lightning. You
oh,
know?
My God. Gosh. Now, when we were in Geneva, Ohio, they had a winery in a church.
Right.
That was beautiful.
Yeah,
that
was.
Church, they had moved it from somewhere, and it was an old church. Mm-hmm. It was really cool.
I guess wine makes a little more sense.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I know, but this place was like stone. It was beautiful. And you go inside, and you could tell it was a church, and it was just at one time, you know,
right.
just the way it was shaped. It was just, it was really cool.
Well, Wolfville is also the place where we learned about the tides.
Yes.
The tides in Nova Scotia are some of the fastest moving tides
mm-hmm.
in the entire world.
Yeah.
And more on that coming up.
While in Wolfville, we stayed at a Harvest Host. Now, a Harvest Host is a membership that we belong to where you can stay at a farm or a brewery or this or that,
and
you know,
it's for free.
You just stay there for a night and you have no hookups or anything. You just,
right,
you know, stay. So we were at this farm. It was a farm market. And this farm was so cool. It was on a hill and we overlooked the valley.
It was gorgeous.
It was so pretty.
Apple trees.
Yeah.
Peach trees.
Yep. And there was the river. You could see the river from where we sat. And you can see the water. When the tides would go out, there'd be no water in it. And when the tides would come in,
it'd be full.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there was like a 38-foot difference.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. With the tides.
Yeah. It was just beautiful up there.
From there, we went to Halifax. Halifax is the big city.
Oh, I loved Halifax.
In Nova Scotia.
They had a really cool boardwalk on the water.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, that was really nice.
Yeah, the harbor front in Halifax is second to none.
Yeah, it was beautiful. It was clean.
Great.
It was very nice. It was very safe.
One place that you have to go is Peggy's Cove. But it's a big tourist attraction.
Mm-hmm.
There's a great lighthouse there, and the rock formations are just phenomenal.
Peggy's Cove was beautiful. It was so worth going.
Mm-hmm.
And it was crowded, so we thought, you know what? Let's go early tomorrow morning. We got there very early when there was hardly anybody there.
That really helped.
We were able to walk around and see things, and that was so much better. But then, by the time we left, and we were heading out back to Halifax, which is about an hour drive.
Yeah, about an hour drive.
The tour buses were coming in. Oh, my gosh.
Well, how many did you count?
Well, before we left, there were already two tour buses there.
Mm-hmm.
And then I counted 10 of them, one after the other after the other, were making their way into Peggy's Cove. I mean, there was only one place for them to go. I don't know how they were going to put all those people there, where they were going to all go.
It was absolutely crazy.
Oh, my gosh. It was crazy. In Halifax, there's this mall. It is just beautiful. And it's filled. All the stores are filled.
Yeah, it's a rectangular mall.
There's been so many malls that I've been in where there's empty storefronts and all these stores are gone. And they're just all struggling.
Not this place.
This mall was just, the stores were fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh, I loved it.
It was a nice place.
It was fun checking it out.
I was glad to get out of there.
That was just my thing, but.
Our next destination was to go to Cape Breton Island.
Yeah.
Where the national park is. And there's also something called the Cabot Trail. It's a 186-mile drive, and we want to experience that. But to get there, we have to go through Truro.
There's not a whole lot in Truro, but what they do have is a tidal bore.
Right. And so, I know what you're thinking. What is a tidal bore?
Yeah.
That is when the tide comes back in. It's so swift, it kind of bores its way up the river.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really interesting to see it. Some of these can be fronted with a wave.
Yeah.
You'll see a wave, an actual wave, maybe a 2-foot wave, come down this river or come into the harbor.
Mm-hmm.
It's called a tidal bore.
Yeah.
And the water moves, well, the one in Truro moved 10 miles an hour.
Yeah.
That's pretty fast.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to go see that.
It's called the Fundy Discovery Site. And you go there, and the river actually curves. So where the curve is where that tidal bore comes in.
Right.
The ranger at the visitor center can see across the valley when that tidal bore is coming.
So that's a cool experience.
Mm-hmm.
So we're getting ready to leave because we want to go to Cape Breton Island. And I'm kind of walking through the park one morning, just kind of, getting some exercise. And I see a pickup truck with a camper on it with an elderly couple driving it. Just as I'm watching them, they drive over a fire pit. Now, the fire pit is actually a wheel hub from an old truck. And it's pretty big and it's heavy. And I mean, it's
solid. Is it steel? Is that what it is? Oh, my gosh.
So they drive up on it and they get stuck.
Yeah.
And I'm watching this and I'm starting to walk over towards them. And he decides that he's just going to keep kind of driving to get off of it.
Because he was like on top of it, right?
Right. So as he goes forward, the fire pit, the wheel hub, goes underneath and locks on the back of the tire, underneath the tire and towards the back of the truck.
Well, it's between the wheel well and the tire, right?
Right, and it's stuck in there.
Yeah.
And there is nothing they could do.
Nothing.
So there were three of us that came to their assistance. Mm-hmm. There was a guy with a van, and there was a guy by the name of Eric and his wife, Diane.
Mm-hmm.
So we all went over there. We got shovels. We're trying to dig it out. And finally, Eric says, you know, I've got an 8-ton jack, a hydraulic jack, mm-hmm. in my RV. Let's try that. Let's mm-hmm. see if we can jack up the truck and pull this thing out.
Uh-huh.
And we can dig under it and everything else. So he gets underneath
the
truck.
He gets under there. He's laying on his side.
Right.
And
he's jacking
that
with
thing. His arm.
Yep.
And,
mm-hmm.
and, I mean, he's like our age, in his 60s or 70s.
Right.
I don't know.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I came walking up. I thought, wow, that guy must be in pretty good shape.
Oh, he was working up a sweat.
Look at him. He's under there doing that. Yep. You know, he's doing all this stuff.
He jacked it up the first time, and it wasn't really enough. So we had to actually take some 2x4s that somebody else had and put it underneath the jack.
And then he had to do it again.
And do it again.
Mm-hmm.
So finally, we're getting this truck jacked up enough that I can get under it with a shovel. And then I took my axe and started pounding on it.
So while all this is going on, Diane comes out of her trailer and she says, Eric, what are you doing under there? You've just had open heart surgery.
Yeah, we were like,
and
oh,
it's like,
my God.
Oh, my gosh. Eric, get out of there.
Right.
Oh.
So we pulled Eric out from underneath the
truck. He didn't want to leave. He wanted to keep doing that.
I know.
And she was just freaking out.
So I started pounding on the fire pit, and we had dug enough underneath and jacked it up enough that we were able to get the thing out. We were pounding on it and finally got it out. Pulled it off the jack, and the old couple, they were very grateful.
Mm-hmm.
They really were. And the funny part was, the older lady, she says, I am so happy. I'm so grateful for you people helping me out. I don't have anything to give. Can I give you some chocolate? And we were like, no, we don't want your chocolate or anything like that. And she comes out, and she's got these bars of Swiss chocolate.
Oh, yeah.
Suddenly, everybody's, yeah, we'll take one of those.
And I'm thinking to myself, you better take that,
yeah,
Jeff.
You better take that chocolate.
But I tell you what, Eric, you know, he was all dirty from being on the ground underneath there and everything. And, you know, he was the nicest guy, nicest can be.
You run into so many
great
people in these campgrounds.
Can you believe that?
Oh.
And it's like, oh, my gosh, he shouldn't be doing that.
Yeah. So after that, we headed to Cape Breton Island.
Yeah.
And we pulled up just short of the island on the other side of the peninsula and stayed at
the High Class Campground.
The High Class Campground.
In Harvey Boucher.
In Harvey Boucher.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about keeping it simple.
Mm-hmm.
This couple that owns it, oh my gosh, they retired. They bought this campground. They went through a few issues on our last podcast. You probably heard them.
We talked to them on our last podcast.
So it was nice spending a couple of nights there.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went to Cape Breton Island.
Yeah.
We stayed in a little town. I want to call it Chilliwack because I'm used to the band from Canada.
No, it's called Chetty Camp.
Chetty Camp.
Mm-hmm.
So we stayed there.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually met a guy in the camp there that was really interesting. He's a bicyclist, and he had ridden his bike from British Columbia near Vancouver all the way across Canada and was headed to Newfoundland.
Mm-hmm. Well, he came in front of us, and he was setting up his tiny little tent, just mm-hmm. big enough for him to sleep in. Because, you know, you can't carry too much when you're on a bicycle.
He says he carries 43 pounds worth of gear.
Yep, that's his maximum, and he carries that.
Mm-hmm.
He left on May 29th, and this was September 6th?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So it was amazing.
He was going to catch the ferry to Newfoundland.
And he told us about a little trick that he learned on YouTube, where you take a pool noodle, and you put it across you, and he had flags on each end, so that people who were driving and passing him really could see him.
Yeah.
It was fun talking to him.
It was amazing. I mean, this guy, he was in really good shape.
Yes, he was.
Oh, my gosh.
Almost as good as me.
Yeah. I offered him a cup of coffee that morning. I was out there. I went for a run, and I saw him, and he was up really early, and he was sitting at the picnic table, and it was kind of chilly. And I said, hey, can I bring you a hot cup of coffee or something? And he says, no. He says, it's going to make me have to pee.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, he says, no, I can't do that, but thank you anyway.
Yeah. So we went to the national park.
Mm-hmm.
Cape Breton Island Highlands
yes.
National Park.
So we left the RV in the campground and we took the car.
It was a lot of fun.
And explored. It was beautiful.
We actually took the Cabot Trail. Mm-hmm. It's a 186-mile drive
yes.
around Cape Breton.
Right. That's what the road is called, the Cabot Trail around Cape Breton.
Right.
Beautiful.
And you drive it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many different things to
yeah.
see and do.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, we did a hike at the Skyline Trail.
Oh, that was so cool. That was beautiful.
Great.
Yeah.
And we saw a tremendous amount of moose fencing
mm-hmm.
because the moose are eating all the plants and
the trees. They eat trees.
And
you could see all these big trees that are half eaten.
And it's by the moose.
Yeah.
So
they have to erect these really high fencing in certain areas.
Right. So these fences are really big.
Mm-hmm.
And in some areas you see them and it's really interesting. You say, yeah, there's a lot of moose. And there were some signs about bears in the area as well.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we didn't see any moose.
Of course, we didn't see any.
And we didn't see any bear.
No.
But we saw a lot of beautiful scenery.
Yes.
It's absolutely gorgeous.
Oh, it was just amazing.
Yeah, it was mm-hmm. a fun drive.
After our Skyline hike, we continued driving north. We went to a little town called Dingwall.
Mm-hmm. Dingwall.
Dingwall.
Yeah.
It was so cute.
Dingwall on Cape Breton Island.
Yeah.
And it's not much of a town or anything.
No.
But we made it that far.
But it was really pretty. It had a harbor. It was just very, very pretty.
Yeah. With mm-hmm. the boats. I mean, it is. It's an absolutely gorgeous country.
Mm-hmm. And then you go around and you've got Baddeck. Baddeck is beautiful.
Yes, it is.
And there's just so much to see there.
Yeah, and also Prince Edward Island.
Yes, there were so many people that said, are you going to Prince Edward Island? And we weren't planning on it.
No.
But
we didn't go to Prince Edward Island.
We didn't get to make that.
But that'll be on another trip.
Yes, they all rave about it. So.
Yeah, they do. Mm-hmm. So we decided not to take the ferry back. And what we did is we drove all the way around past St. John's and stayed the night in St. Andrews.
Mm-hmm.
And then went across the border back into Maine.
Right.
What a trip, huh?
Yes.
That was a lot of fun.
It was.
But we weren't done. We went to Lubeck.
Yes, we stopped.
Lubeck, Maine.
Have you ever heard of Lubeck, Maine? Probably not.
No.
I never had until then.
Uh-uh.
Lubeck is the easternmost town of the United States.
Yep.
And it was really a cute town. It was beautiful. We saw the lighthouse.
Yep, the lighthouse.
Mm-hmm.
Went downtown.
Yep. And when you look across the water, you can see Canada over there.
Mm-hmm. But it was great being back in the United States.
Oh, it was.
Number one, our cell phone coverage improved 100%.
Oh, yeah.
We're with Verizon, and I'll tell you, we kind of suffered with the internet and cell phone coverage. It's not that I want to live my life with that.
It was hard because we only had so much usage we could use on our phones for the day.
Because they'll charge you more when you're out of the country.
Once you hit that, then it's like, well, for $5, we'll give you more.
Right.
Oh.
One thing to always remember, if you cross the border of this country and go to Canada or any other country like Mexico, whatever, the truth of the matter is your cell phone company better be notified. You better check with your cell phone company
mm-hmm.
because your rates could skyrocket.
Right.
There are stories of people who have come back with $1,000 phone bills because mm-hmm. they got the roaming charges
mm-hmm.
and didn't realize that. Okay, for $20 more a month, they could have had an international pass or whatever the phone company's called.
Right.
But
mm-hmm.
always check with your phone company.
We have the travel pass in our Verizon package,
mm-hmm.
so we already have it, but we have to make sure we put the phone on roaming.
Right.
But still, the coverage is...
Yeah, the coverage was not good.
No.
And every once in a while, they'd prompt you saying, well, you used up your half a gig today. If you
mm-hmm.
want more, you got to pay more.
And so you got to find in the campground your Wi-Fi and connect to Wi-Fi wherever and anytime you can.
One thing good about High Class was they had the Starlink.
They did.
Oh, man, I'm impressed with that.
Yes.
Starlink.
That was great.
Look into it. If you're an RVer,
mm-hmm.
that might be the answer for you
mm-hmm.
if you really need high-speed internet. And I know a lot of people do.
Speaking of stars, I just have to say, we woke up at 1 o'clock in the morning at Chetty Camp. And went right outside the RV and looked up, and there was the Milky Way.
That was so cool.
It was so dark out. There was no light pollution at all. Mm-mm. And there were so many stars.
It's amazing.
It was beautiful.
It's amazing to look at the edge of the universe.
Yes.
It really is.
It was so cool.
Hey, speaking of the universe, when's the last time we hassled Jim and Melinda Mantell, our good friends?
I know. It's been a while.
Who RV. They're in Idaho right now. Well, Jim did send a message to us. He says, I got a great idea for you guys. Why don't you do some do's and don'ts about winterizing your RV?
Great idea.
Now, Jim is an HVAC guy.
Mm-hmm.
He knows a lot about that. Jim, here's the do's and don'ts from Jeff and Patty about winterizing your RV. Do drive to the Southwest or Florida in the winter. Don't stay in the snow and have your RV freeze. And there you have the do's and the don'ts.
Perfect.
Of winterizing your RV.
There we go.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
If you have any more ideas, we're here.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, that does it for another week. Thank you very much for following us. We will catch up to you next week.
Yes. In the meantime, have fun. Be good. Stay out of trouble.
It's the Rockin' the RV Life Podcast with Jeff and Patty. Hear more of their adventures on the road with our next episode. If you liked what you heard, please subscribe and tell your friends.